This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Kelly Anissa and Lim Soo Ann in the studio today. So what are we discussing?
So we're going to look at what the death of a 10-year-old girl from cardiac arrest can teach us about the importance of community CPR and, you know, our readiness for providing emergency care.
And in our second story, with Liverpool having lost the race for the Premier League title over the weekend, we ask you, when is a defeat a moral victory and when is it just plain failure?
And on Twitter, we're asking you, how would you feel if your favourite team or athlete was defeated despite fighting to the end? Your options are, you're still proud of them, they could have done better, or only victory counts. So you can join the conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900.
All that coming up after Amy Winehouse with Love is a Losing Game.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Amy Winehouse with Love is a Losing Game, and in our first story, Kelly.
So London Eisenbys, a 10-year-old girl from the United States, suffered a heart attack last year after riding a water slide at an amusement park. So her parents believe that it was her overexcitement that, you know, was what drove her into cardiac arrest.
Right.
And it was later discovered that London actually had an undiagnosed heart rhythm disorder called long QT syndrome. So she suffered from severe brain damage due to a lack of oxygen and was hospitalized due to this episode. And after 9 days on life support, she passed away.
A very, very tragic story.
Yeah.
And I think it really strikes terror into parents' hearts, especially. But the reason, so this occurred earlier part of last year, and the reason it's sort of made the news again is because the family has since filed a lawsuit against the theme park company.
Yeah.
And so London's mother alleged that the water park officials turned down help from a doctor who happened to be at the park that day, and also that they had no defibrillator nearby. And the park officials had actually told her that they were highly trained and that they didn't need help. But London's parents think that the little girl might have survived if a defibrillator had been used.
Mm. Yeah, and London's mother has stated that this lawsuit is not about money, but it's about making changes and creating a safe environment for the children.
Yeah.
She added that it was also about what took place in the minutes after London had the cardiac arrest. And so this story just reinforces the importance of having community CPR and emergency care in public service, public spaces.
Yeah, and earlier this year in January, we actually did a show on community CPR with Dr. Lee Soon Han. So here is a clip of him explaining the impact that immediate CPR can have on those who suffer from cardiac arrest.
Well, for out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, the earlier we start the CPR, the better the outcome it is for the victim. So definitely, it is hard to give a number on how many that can survive and come to the hospital. But we have to understand that out-of-hospital cardiac arrest can happen anywhere. And most commonly, it happens in our homes. Apart from that, it can happen in shopping malls, public transports, swimming pools, and even sports centres. So people have this conception that sudden cardiac arrest is due to a heart attack. But actually, it's only in a few number of cases. Most of the time, it usually happens without any warning signs, unlike a heart attack where you get chest pain and shortness of breath. So, and people also think that sudden cardiac arrest only affects the elderly. But in fact, even young adults and children can suffer from this. So what actually happens is that our heart suddenly develops an abnormal electrical rhythm, which makes it to become unable to pump efficiently. And thus, the person falls and becomes unconscious and does not breathe. So the earlier we activate our emergency response system, the earlier somebody actually comes to the victim and starts CPR, the higher the chances of survival. We are talking about a very narrow time window of about 3 to 4 minutes. So definitely, if it's a witness cardiac arrest where someone, a bystander or a member of the public or community, manages to catch this victim or sees this victim falling and become unconscious, the faster we do CPR, the better the outcome.
So Dr. Lee also spoke about when CPR should be carried out and the important signs to look out for that distinguish sudden cardiac arrest from other conditions.
Okay. What we normally teach in our community CPR for a member of the public is that all they have to do is just find that the victim is unconscious, does not show any signs of response, and the victim is not breathing. So this alone requires that the heart is not working when the victim is not breathing at all, and he or she will require CPR, which we call cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It does not only affect the elderly, but even young adults, working adults, and children alike. There are many, many causes that can cause the heart to fail and stop pumping suddenly, not just heart attack alone. So because it's so common, and it's one of the commonest reasons why our 999 emergency response call is activated, so it is very important that we educate the public so that we can improve the awareness on the need for the public to learn how to do CPR.
And here is another clip of Dr. Lee explaining the steps to be taken during an actual emergency.
Okay, first, when there is a case of a victim suffering from sudden cardiac arrest or a victim collapses, if you are a member of the public, when you attend to this victim, first you have to make sure that the scene is safe. There is no element of danger or hazard surrounding you that may cause further harm to you. For example, electrical wiring or maybe floods or things are just unstable or structural collapse. So apart from that, we'll have to check the response of the victim. So if the victim is unresponsive, you need to shout and call for help, which is what we advocate, to get another member of the public to call 999 and also another member of the public to look for an nearest AED. While this person stays on the phone with the 999 caller and continues the life-saving measures. So they need to know how to open the airway of the patient and see if the patient is breathing or not. So normally when you are on the phone with the 999 operator, he or she will teach you how to do this. Okay. After that, if the patient is not breathing, the operator will tell you how to do chest compression. So the chest compression is just basically by using both hands put at the center of the chest and pumping the chest down and up and down and up about 200 times in 2 minutes. This is what we advocate. So for community CPR or for CPR done by a lay person or a member of the public, what we advocate is just hands-only CPR. That means it's chest compression only. There is no element of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. So all it takes is for a person to put both hands on the chest and compress the chest in order to try their best to improve the survival of this patient. So when we compress the chest, actually what we are trying to do is that to pump the heart to try and simulate and try and at least get a bit of a blood flow in the body of the victim so that there is some blood flow and oxygen flow to at least sustain the vital organs. Sometimes this alone can bring a person back to life. Most of the time, what is required in sudden cardiac arrest is an automated external defibrillator. As I've mentioned earlier, the abnormal electrical rhythm is what triggered this person to become unconscious in the first place. So that's why we also advocate that a nearby AED, if it's available, to be brought as fast as possible to the location of the emergency. We cannot wait for the ambulance team to arrive with the AED because it might take a few minutes. So once the AED machine has arrived, all the member of the public has to do is just to follow the instructions what that is given by the voice prompt by the machine. Right now in Malaysia, common places to find AEDs are large public places such as shopping malls, and some public transportation places such as MRT and LRT stations, but not all, and religious places of worship. So we are thinking about places where there's a large gathering of people, a high concentration of people, so the risk of sudden cardiac arrest is higher. Unfortunately, there is no requirement or law that states that this place must have an AED, which is what we in the Ministry of Health is trying to advocate. We want more places, more public places to be equipped with AED so that we can actually use this in the event where there's any case of sudden cardiac arrest. In public places such as shopping centres, if I'm not mistaken, I think it is a requirement to have it in order to run the centre. Unfortunately, for sports centres such as gyms, maybe futsal courts, swimming pools, it is not really a requirement. However, those places are also at high risk of patients are victims suffering from sudden cardiac arrest. Even childcare centres, because sudden cardiac arrest can affect children or even teachers in schools, So we advocate that schools and childcare centres be to have staff that know how to do CPR and also they know where to get the nearest AED.
So speaking of AEDs, London's family have now started a foundation as well to make sure that all parks, all those public theme parks have automated external defibrillators on hand, because that's going to be the thing, that emergency action that makes the difference between life and death. And well, here's a bit of a feel-good, a positive note. So last year, five teenagers from Georgetown, Penang, saved a footballer's life when they performed CPR on him and by using the public AED. So this happened after the footballer had collapsed on the field, and it was the quick thinking by these boys that saved the man's life. So this is a good example of how emergency care can make a difference.
Yeah, and another example of an incident that happened back in 2015 was when David Onia died from a heart attack on the field. So David Onia is a footballer who plays who was playing here in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So it happened merely minutes into a friendly match between the T team against another Malaysian side, Kelantan. So at the time, the club chief executive officer, Shahrizan Mohamed Zain, mentioned that Onia did not receive vital treatment quickly enough and that the outcome could have been different had the ambulance driver been alert to the emergency that was happening. So this is an example of a situation that, you know, can and should be avoided.
Yes.
So just a very quick discussion, I guess. Either one of you know how to do CPR?
No.
I will admit I don't.
No.
Yeah. Which is, which I think a case like reading about London's one, I think really makes me think as a parent, every parent should know. And actually, I've come across lots of places offering to teach children CPR to parents, and they're not expensive. So actually, it's something that all parents should get on board with.
You know? Yeah, I think I remember back in school, I remember seeing how students who are part of the Red Cross Society, some of them do learn to at least the basics of what CPR is, but maybe that could be something that could be expanded more.
To all students, perhaps.
Yeah, because it's important. I mean, but I've also heard that it could be dangerous if someone who doesn't know how to do CPR performs a CPR on someone who needs it.
So this is, I remember I did ask Dr. Lee about this, and it's been spoken about in other health and living shows where we talked about emergency care as well, where actually it is more important that somebody steps up to help rather than you standing back because you were afraid you didn't know how to do it. And time and time again, the advice that they give, and as Dr. Lee mentioned just now, call 999, because the person on the phone will walk you through the steps of doing the CPR or will remind you to look for an AED if you're in one of these big public spaces. And the AEDs, it comes with voice commands.
Okay.
So it will tell you, you know, like press this, do this, and do this. So it's step by step, and it really in any situation, do something rather than do nothing. I think
And that was the case that one of the examples that we mentioned earlier about this group of boys, five teenagers saving the footballer. So what during that situation, what they had was they used the AED device to guide them on what to do. So he kept saying that the mission kept saying to push harder, compress harder. So yeah, I mean, I think even for anyone who lives with their grandmother or pretty much anyone, because anybody can have cardiac arrest,
right? Not just old age.
Yeah, but, and I think it's such an easy thing for us to go and try and pick up or to make ourselves aware of in cases of emergency.
Okay, all right. That's the resolution for this year.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so just to reiterate again, if you are in need of emergency care in Malaysia, you can call 999, which will connect you to all emergency service providers, such as the police, the fire and rescue department, the health ministry, the civil defense department, and the Malaysian Maritime Enforcement Agency.
Wow, okay, so 999, not 911, by the way, which a lot of people make the mistake of doing.
Yeah.
Kelly, we have a question on Twitter in relation to our second story.
Yes, so we are asking you, how would you feel if your favourite team or your favourite athlete was defeated despite fighting to the end? Your options are, you are still proud of them, they could have done better, or only victory counts. So to join the conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So as I mentioned, that's related to our second story on when a defeat is considered a moral victory. Stay tuned for that, but first here's Neil Young with Helpless on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.